Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's your podcast.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Final Four and the National Championship. Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
This is the old NBC?
CBS.
CBS. Love,
my favorite baseball theme song of all time. Right,
CBS.
Here. That 1990-93.
Your favorite all time.
Yep.
Better than This Week in Baseball.
Yep. Joe Carter and the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, better than the old ESPN Sunday night. I wonder if Jerry DePoto gets romantic and emotional about old baseball themes the way we do. Let's find out. The GM of your Seattle Mariners joining us right now on the radio show. Jerry, we have a habit of popping in old baseball themes, the old This Week in Baseball theme, the old Mariner themes from the 80s, Johnny Bench and the Fun Bunch back in the day. You got any favorite old classic baseball themes that you appreciate? Apparently he doesn't.
Evidently not.
I guess he doesn't.
Evidently
man.
Not. He didn't like that theme.
He did not like that theme at all. He heard that theme. And Jerry, do we have you?
I love it.
There you go.
The old This Week in Baseball, I'm actually nerdy enough that I still sit and watch the replays. You can pull them up on YouTube, and I think it's phenomenal when you get into that 1976, 77.
Yep.
All the guys that I was watching as a kid growing up was fantastic.
I love it. Well, we agree with you, man. Those are all tremendous. Well, listen, it's great to have you back on the show. We appreciate you doing this. You guys are less than 4 hours away from first pitch. What's today like for you? I mean, you know, obviously there's a lot of work to be done with this roster throughout the course of the year, but your opening day roster, your 40-man roster is set. Your lineup is set for tonight. You got fans back in here for the first time in 18 months. What's today like for you, man, both as a professional and personally?
Personally, I think this is something we all need, is just to be able to invite fans back into the game and just celebrate the fact that baseball's starting again. I've jokingly, for years, I've referenced that opening day is such an emotionally charged game. And of the 162 that we play, it's probably the least consequential to the outcome of our season. But it's so majestic to be a part of an opening day. And, you know, to the players, it means so much when you make the roster, and to the team, just, you know, winning one, getting on the right side of the ledger to start the season is such a good thing. And I'm really excited to be back at the ballpark, and I'm so looking forward to seeing how the players respond to seeing fans in the seats, because it's been so long.
You know, Jerry Softy brought up an interesting point in the last segment. He was talking about how we could kind of use this weird year that we have had as kind of a breaking point in Mariner history. We've got the before 2020, and then we're going to have the after 2020 with hopefully a lot different results over the next 40 years than we've had over the first 40 years. Do you kind of feel like this is kind of the second part of the DePoto era here in Seattle, where you had the teardown part and now you've got the build it up to win part?
Yeah, I hope it's not the second part, meaning it's halfway through.
Right, right. That's why I said second and not just a half, right?
I think the idea of what we did back in, you know, at the end of 2018 was to set ourselves up to turn this corner. And, you know, I wish we would have been able to do it last year over 162-game season, but those just aren't the cards that we were dealt. And we've never felt stronger about the process than we do right now. We've got the young talent lined up. I feel like so much of our foundation is already in place. Yeah. And I do feel like once the water breaks, or the water breaks over the dam, this is going to be something that sustains for a while. And that was what we were building. You know, we weren't intending to find a way to challenge for a season, but rather to put ourselves in position to go out and run a division for a while, because we think that's possible as we move forward.
Yeah, Jerry DePoto, Mariner GM with us, M's and Giants tonight, 7:10, across the street from T-Mobile Park. And this is probably a very vague question, but you mentioned when the water breaks the dam. When will we know that the water has broken the dam. When do you think we will know and get that real feeling? What do you need to see yourself before you feel like, all right, now we're off and running?
I wish I was that smart, Softy. Yeah. But my answer to the question is, we'll know when we know. But you know, the truth is that, you know, we have so many positive things already happening with this young group, and there's the development of a player or even a team. It's just never linear, and I've said that before, and I've been pounding on it today, is that these things usually pop much quicker or sooner than you think they're going to, and often it happens a year before anybody thought it was possible. So, you know, I know not a lot of people in the public realm are giving us a great chance this year, but you know, at the end of the day, we have so much young talent, and just like the teams that were rebuilt before us in Houston and Chicago and more recently in Toronto, and watching what's happening right now around the league with you know, how it worked with those teams, even in Atlanta. You know, when it breaks, you generally jump, you know, 10 or 15 wins from where you were. And, you know, hopefully this is that year for us. And when will we know? I suspect we're going to have a really good gauge on what this team 2020 season is about for this team by about the middle point of this season. And, you know, but I'm hopeful that puts us in position at the trade line to do something fun.
You probably have a better idea now, looking back at what 2020 meant to you, than you did when you were going through it. So how much did the pandemic set the rebuilding plan back? And on the flip side, what was the most beneficial thing you got out of last year?
Well, I'll go in reverse. The most beneficial thing we got was opportunity for the young players, specifically to watch some of the young pitching grow and get, you know, get those reps. Justice Sheffield, Justin Dunn, Nick Margavichus, Anthony Mishevitz. You know, the group that we got to expose down in the bullpen, Joey Gerber, who's, you know, starting this year at the alt site, but got great experience last year. And you know, those are opportunities, at least in that kind of mass, that you just don't get very often. So, you know, that was a real positive. I can say the same about the everyday opportunity for Evan White, for J.P. Crawford, for Kyle Lewis, and that those were meaningful things. How it set us back, the obvious was not being able to play a minor league season. That was a challenge for us, and you know, and like it was for everybody else, but we are so invested in the growth of our young players that missing out on a 144-game minor league schedule and even being able to promote some of these players through and give them major league exposure, you know, that wasn't a reality for us last year, and somewhere now we have to make up for that. And you know, I don't know that we can ever really go back in time and regather that year. So we're just going to have to challenge our players maybe a little more aggressively than we would have otherwise. Yeah. But it's something everyone's having to deal with. So it's not just us.
So what are Kalanick, Rodriguez, Hancock, Gilbert, the whole gang? What do they do until now and the 1st of May?
So we are right now down in Arizona. We have a co-op league that we started yesterday. Actually, was the first game, and we are much like the Arizona Fall League. We're doing these small co-ops where we are partnering with one or two teams to put a team of prospects on the field, and they're playing a game every day between now and when the minor league game schedule starts in the 3rd week of April. And, you know, those teams are fun. You see a lot of the recent first-round draft picks and highly graded prospects who haven't yet gotten above the AA level. And, you know, our team yesterday on the field included Jared Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez. And, you know, the guys who are not at the alt site who were in our major league camp and have been through, you know, tier one of the COVID protocols to make sure that we're taking proper care and making sure that everybody stays healthy. And the teams down in Phoenix, especially those teams in the West Valley, teams like the White Sox and the Dodgers, the Rangers, the Royals, ourselves, they're all taking part in this. And we think it has a chance to be something pretty fun. And it also gives us, you know, 4 or 5 plate appearances a day for our best offensive players. And it gives us those, you know, 3-4 innings for our starting pitchers and trying to build them up and not just punt the month of April because we're not able to get out there to affiliates until May.
Jerry, your trade for Taylor Trammell and Ty France looks better and better every day. You got them both in the starting lineup today, and Taylor was emotional. I heard him earlier today. He was emotional when Scott told him he was starting today. What's it meant to see those guys' development? Because we're excited to see him this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't, and you know, I appreciate the thought. I wouldn't count him, though he's not in the lineup. You know, Luis Torrens is also a big part of that trade. We think he has a chance to be an everyday player, and the one who hasn't shown up yet, but we think has a chance to be a closer, is Andres Munoz, who's got a terrific arm. But seeing those guys in the everyday lineup is, you know, it's gratifying to both our scouting and development people, but and to our analysts who. Especially in identifying Ty France a couple of years ago as a player of high interest. But when you get these players, you know, we always knew that Ty France and Taylor Trammell and Luis Torrens, that they were incredibly talented players. And, you know, Trammell has been on top 100 list since the day he was drafted. And Ty France, you know, hits somewhere between 300 and 400 everywhere he goes. and I won't even cap it at 400 in the PCL. But the having those players here and watching the kind of teammates they are, I would say in the case of those guys, and no more so than with Trammell and France, such selfless teammates and great guys to be around. They've really been very quickly to assimilate with our group and become such a solid part of what we do in our clubhouse that it's that's been as enjoyable as the talent they bring to the field.
Is this kind of a make or break year in some ways for Mitch Haniger? He's 30 years old already. I was actually stunned to see that, to be honest with you. I didn't realize he was 30, but he's been out for a while. He's had the myriad of injuries, some more painful than others, obviously. But tell us about how important this year is for Mitch.
I'm sure for Mitch, first of all, I think he already had his make or break years. And he's been an all-star. He's gone back and done, you know, he made a transition from, you know, let's say a fatigued prospect to a guy who at 25, 26 got his first major league opportunity and really thrived. And, you know, he did it for, you know, the 2017 and 18 season, obviously lost since then. And I imagine if you ask him, he would say that this is an important year for him. But I'd hate to put too much pressure on him because I think the time that he missed should have resulted in a guy who struggled to find his timing or, you know, might need a little bit of time off of his feet and you don't want to rush him too hard back to everyday play. And I say all that as this, you know, the voice of conservatism, and that none of that was obvious in spring training. He played every day that we had him in the lineup, never came in the training room and went out and resumed doing the things that Mitch Haniger does. So I'm really excited for him because he's healthy, and when he's healthy, he is some kind of good all-around player, and I'm thrilled to see him go out there with a smile on his face and do his thing, because I think just overcoming those injuries, he already did what he needed to do, and now hopefully the results just line up for him because the hard part's over.
Jerry, you were put in a very unfair position a few weeks ago with the comments by your former president. How did you handle that as a leader of your baseball department with the people that work for you?
Just try to tell us, you know, we've always been wired as we tell our truths, and you know, we're much like I think is the way we're perceived externally. We definitely work with glass walls, and you know, we tell you what we're going to do, we go do that thing, and hopefully that truth telling builds credibility, you know, in the environment. I think it has. And, you know, I think it has built credibility, you know, with our baseball operations team, with the people that work around us in development and scouting. And I think it resonated with our players. And it was fairly evident as we got through spring training that, you know, that the guys, and they should, you know, have some level of disdain for the way the organization was referencing anything from them as individuals to the game in general, but they focused on what they could do and they played baseball, and that's the wonderful thing about a baseball season is the next game, you know, gives you so much of a reprieve and just gives you a break. And the best we can do is continue to treat them fairly in the way we've always treated them, to tell them the truth and sit down and answer any questions that they have. and to understand that they're not always going to like that truth. But we'll continue to operate, hopefully, in that type way, above board, and give them every reason to believe that we are who we say we are. And my suspicion or belief is that right now they do believe that.
Yeah, Jerry DePoto with us, and I hate to bring up a Seahawk angle, but I want to just kind of couch this like this. There's all kinds of rumors and reports that the Seahawks may be interested in bringing Richard Sherman back in kind of a mentor role for some of their young defensive backs with the Hawks. And I wonder if Kyle Seager is kind of becoming that guy for you. He's still your starting third baseman, obviously, but he's now going into his 11th year. He hasn't hit 250 since 2016. He's in the last year of his contract. Has Kyle Seager kind of turned into some ways the role of maybe a mentor for some of these young guys?
I think he always was. And, you know, Kyle tends to do it in quiet ways or behind a closed door, but most specifically in the way he goes out and does his business every day. You know, it's kind of a lunch pail approach from Kyle. He works his butt off. He's in the cage. He sweats it out. And, you know, he's what in baseball we've always called a grinder. And I think... Well, I know for certain he's been that since 2016, and you know that's probably halfway through his Mariners tenure, and I don't know why that would change. He's as consistent as they come. I feel the same way about James Paxton. You know, although he left for a couple of years, there is a sense of maturity with those guys having been around the league as long as they have. You know, now in James' case, having been part of a playoff club in New York. And in Kyle's case, having been it's impossible to not reference the tenure he's had here. He's the elder statesman of our team, not just by age, but in service with the Mariners. And those things mean something. You know, every player down there knows where they are. Every time they walk in the room, they know where Pax is, they know where Kyle is, and that's meaningful, especially when the player on the receiving end, you know, Kyle and James give it back, and they do provide leadership in a lot of different ways, and we're glad they're here.
Jerry, does not having real quote-unquote minor league games right now to play in, does that accelerate Kelenic's timeline of getting up here to get him some at-bats, or does it hinder his timeline of getting back up here?
Well, I just explained with the card. Jared got 5 at-bats last night. Those at-bats count. They're not going to show up on the back of a baseball card, but they do count. And, you know, part of the reason why we were, you know, engaged in trying to create this co-op was that very reason. Is, you know, through the month of April, if we can play a game a day, which is how baseball works, we play a game a day, that's 100, 125-ish plate appearances that we can get for players like Jared and Julio Rodriguez. And those are meaningful plate appearances. And, you know, especially in the cases of the young guys like a Julio or even a Noelia Marte who haven't had much exposure beyond the low levels. And like in Jared's case, the guy who hasn't had some exposure to maybe more advanced pitching, to be able to play right now in a co-op scenario where you're playing with and against teams, it's like a month in the Arizona Fall League, which is something that most teams have used very aggressively in their development of young players, and we think it's going to be a great advantage. How quickly that's going to result in getting to the big leagues, I can't tell you, but I do know that he's taking at-bats every day, and that was the goal.
Well, Jerry, let's wrap it up with this. We appreciate you doing this, getting closer to first pitch at 7:10. Mariner GM Jerry DePoto is with us. And, you know, more often than not in our business, Sports Talk Radio, we talk about expectations. What are your expectations for Mariner baseball in 2021? So if you were sitting here doing our job, and hopefully for your sake you never will have to do this gig, but if you were sitting here on talk radio doing a show on KJR and you were talking about your expectations for Mariner baseball in 2021, what would they look like to you? What do you expect out of this baseball team?
I expect meaningful improvement, you know, and that seems a vague answer, but it's about getting Ty France's plate appearances and watching him improve. It's about seeing Evan White take that next step. It's about seeing Jared Kelenic graduate from top prospect to everyday major league player. It's about watching Taylor Trammell adjust to the big league and become part of the foundation. And I can't stress enough, it's what we really push is the focus on the process rather than the result. I don't want to pin a win total on these guys. It's unfair. I'm not that smart to tell you how many games we're going to win. but I am, you know, experienced enough to know that if we focus on the small parts of the process and helping each one of these players improve in different ways every day, and you'll see it happening before your eyes. That's when you go from a 72-win team to a 90-win team, and everybody looks back and says, wow, that happened fast.
I love it.
We think we're in that stage.
I love it. Well, it's time. I think we're all ready, by the way. In case you were curious if we're ready, we are ready. More than ready for this thing to take the next step. So go get him. Appreciate this. Good luck starting tonight. We'll talk down the road, man.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, all.
You bet. Jerry DePoto with us on the radio show. I thought some really interesting nuggets right there in the end from DePoto. I want to come back and talk about that. Softy and Dick live from Jimmy's on First, baby, right here on 950K.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.